This is Real Estate Journeys, episode 98.
Hi, this is Adam Adams for Blue Spruce Holdings. And if you're looking to scale your real estate investment business and be location independent, you need to listen to Real Estate Journeys with my good friend, Matthew Baltzell.
Welcome to Real Estate Journeys, here to help you build your cash-flowing real estate empire that you've been dreaming of. This is about real estate investors who have escaped the soul-crushing 9-to-5 rat race by taking action, leveraging relationships, and gaining the financial independence. It's time to stop making excuses and get the insight and knowledge you need to become a successful real estate investor. This is your host, Matthew Baltzell.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Matty B, aka Matthew Baltzell. Welcome back to Real Estate Journeys. In today's episode, guys, we have a great guest. His name is Adam Adams. He provides a bunch of value bombs. He tells us how he gets started in the industry, how he utilizes social media, how he utilizes meetups to basically elevate his game and become a thought leader in our industry. So, before we jump into today's episode, guys, real quick, if you're interested in taking your real estate investing to the next level and becoming booked on other people's podcasts, click on a link in the show notes. It's a quick 4-question survey. It'd greatly be appreciated. So with all that said, guys, let's jump into it and welcome Adam Adams to the show. All right, everybody, welcome back to Real Estate Journeys. Guys, I'm actually really excited for today's episode. I know everybody always hears about, you know, start a thought leadership platform and, you know, kind of like, what is that, right? Is it a podcast? Is it a meetup? Are you a blogger? You know, how do you really go about doing this and establishing it? Well, today's topic, we're going to be covering just that. And I'm really excited for today's guest. His name is Adam Adams, and he's absolutely crushing it out in Denver, Colorado. He has a meetup, he has a podcast, and he's doing some really big things. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, glad to have you here. So before we jump into it and hear about the podcast and how we go about establishing ourselves and a thought leadership platform, Adam, can you give us a little bit of a context about your background in real estate and how you got into it?
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten into real estate myself if it wasn't for my dad. So growing up, we always had self-storage units. We had condos. We had multifamily. We had, small multifamily, larger multifamily, single family. And he had land everywhere as well. And it's just like he always told me that I needed to read 2 books. It was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it was The Millionaire from Babylon. No, The Richest Man in Babylon. Yep. Yeah. And so that was very normal in my family. And I almost felt pressured that I needed to do it. But, you know, as a kid, as a high schooler, I wanted to reject it and not do exactly what my dad did because I wanted to have my own path. But he bought me a piece of land in college. And so in 2005, that was really my start. And I thought it was cool. I was like, yeah, I own a piece of America. And so
where
that's
was
really
this land?
So it's in land? Utah. It's in Utah. Okay. So he got it from a tax deed. In Utah, every October, delinquent taxes, they auction off these properties. So he gets the list before October, and then he mails people something that basically says he'll give you a quit claim at $100 if you could do a quit claim, and he'll take all the responsibilities for the property. So he paid somebody $100 to go to the bank and notarize a deed to give it to him. And then a couple months later, he gave it to me. And then a week later, he told me I had to pay for it. So because of his taxes and so I had to pay $100, and I felt really slighted because that was exactly what he paid for it. And I was like, that's not fair, but it was worth a few $1,000. The cool thing is that piece of land, it was in Aspen Hills Owners Association, lot number 33, if anybody cares to look it up. But in Aspen Hills in Fairview County, somebody decided that these cabin lots, they were going to bring water and electricity to them. And so the value of the properties went up and somebody wanted to buy off the piece of land for a low price. They were worth 20-ish, and they were going up to 30 and 40,000 for the lots. They're about an acre. And somebody just said, you know, I was a college student, and I've been paying taxes on this once a year for like 2 years. So when I was offered $12,500 off of my $100 investment, I thought, yep, I'm out. I don't even care that it's worth a little bit more than that. Like, I'll just take the money and go. But being dyslexic, I never wanted to read a book, but I finally decided I've got to read Rich Dad Poor Dad, because my dad's been telling me this for a long time. So I read it, and it opened up my eyes. It made me decide that I was going to do what Robert Kiyosaki does. And most people see Robert Kiyosaki and they think that he's just basically telling you to be in real estate. Well, what he did was he did apartment syndication. So I thought about that. And even way back then in 2007, when I was reading it, I said, I guess I got to do apartments. So I started managing. I started managing an apartment community. We doubled the value of it and turned it from, my bio might say a $2 million to a $4 million. That's inaccurate. He bought it for $1 million and sold it for $2 million. So if you got an old bio that I accidentally moved it, I'm sorry. But yeah, we moved it from a $1 million to a $2 million property. And then I started buying my own. So that's really my quick journey. In 2008, I bought my first, rode the wave down. Got out of it barely unscathed without having to pay money or lose money. It still wasn't pretty. It wasn't fun. Then when I got back into real estate, it was 2015, at the end of 2015, that I was starting to get back into real estate, but it was a struggle for me. And so that's why I decided in 2016 that I just needed to have a thought leadership platform. So that's where, you know, we get to today's topic.
And then to give the listeners a little bit of context, you're originally from Utah, correct?
Yep. Raised in Utah, and now I live in Denver.
Okay. And so when you moved to Denver, how did you even go about thinking to even start a real estate meetup? How did you go about even thinking of that, and how did you go about implementing that?
Yeah, good question. Like, I never even knew what a meetup was myself, but I was new to the city. And my friends, they were like, well, my friends from outside of Denver, because I didn't have any here yet. I was pretty new. And they just suggested that I hop on to Meetup, and then I find friends. And so that's what I did. I just jumped on to Meetup, learned a little bit about Meetup. And when I decided, you know, to go all in on real estate and try to make it my full-time thing, because at the time I was managing commercial reconstruction, basically roofs, hail damage, siding, stuff like that. So just large multi-million dollar claims that were in Denver because of the hail. So I was doing that, and I was like, I need to just transition into this full-time. And that's what kind of got me the idea. Hey, I just started learning about Meetup, and with having kids and knowing that all these other Meetup groups were later than I could attend, I just decided to try to create a real estate meetup, a lunch club. And I was like, well, who knows if anybody's going to come, but you know, I might just get a couple of people. And I kept thinking about it. I kept thinking, I really would like to leader among people that are actually doing it. And I thought to myself, if I was selling a coaching program, it'd probably be better that I did something in the evening. But as I'm not trying to do that, I just want to connect with people that are really doing this so that we can move our business forward faster. I said, you know what, I'll just create the first ever real estate lunch club. And so I did that. And yeah, we've got lots of cool stories, fun stories. The first ever event, that's probably the one that really changed my life, I would say.
How so?
Basically, I had promised myself right before doing this meetup, I had promised myself that I was going to do it through thick and thin. It didn't matter if it was raining or snowing or whatever. I made that promise. And I remembered back, because my dad, who is a real estate investor and an entrepreneur, we owned a tree farm, and I used to water the trees every day. And one day I watered half of the trees, and I got home early, and my dad was wondering why I got home early. And he told me that day with a stern face on, he basically said, if you're going to start something, you have to follow through with it. You must. Mm. And so every day that I was watering those plants after that, my dad was really careful to make sure that I knew that if I was going to start something, I was going to finish it. You know, I can't come home early. And so here I was, that was kind of ringing through my brain, because if you look in the history, this I think was the first Thursday of November of 2016. I'm pretty sure if you look at the history, if you look at that, you'll see that we had the biggest snowfall in years on that day. It snowed 15 inches in like 2, 3, 4 hours, something incredibly fast. 12 to 15 inches in about 2 to 4 hours. And it was just nuts. I could not believe like what it was going on. And I only had a few people say that they were coming. And so here I was, by the way, I lived in Florida for a minute. And when I lived in Florida, I bought this Honda Pilot, and it was a front wheel drive Honda Pilot, front wheel drive. They don't sell those in Colorado. Like, you could not possibly find a two wheel drive Honda Pilot in the state of Colorado, but in Florida they have them. And I never knew that it was two wheel drive. So here I am trying to figure out why I can't drive in 15 inches of snow, and I'm like so upset, thinking I'm making excuses. I'm saying to myself, you know, nobody would blame me for canceling this on a day like this. Nobody would blame me at all. And I kept thinking to myself, you know what? And furthermore, maybe I would be saving people's lives if it's the responsible thing to do, to just quit this.
To cancel the event. Yeah.
So I just had all of these excuses, and I just kept thinking about what my dad said. He said, if you're going to start something, you got to follow through. You got to be consistent. Like, you don't start a job and end it. And so I went there, stressful driving in there, but there was some people that showed up. The interesting thing is, I'm currently partnered with one of them. His name's DJ. And just a brief about this is, over time, that meetup ended up getting so big, and he just was so impressed with what we were doing, and he came to almost every event. He finally just started saying, how can we work together? How can we do something together? So we started syndicating apartment communities together. Mm-hmm. I had been involved in multifamily for some time. At this time, you know, as you know, I started managing them in 2007, owning them in 2008. And I owned two or three of them, different properties at the time. And he was just like, how can we work together? And I said, you know, you've bought and sold several businesses. You started businesses. You're a really good COO in what you're doing. Maybe we could actually raise money and buy bigger properties. And so it was the beginning of 2017. It was the beginning of 2017 we had this talk, and the podcast started going in the end of 2017. It like started airing, and I think we got our first syndication under contract that year. So yeah, it's just incredible what can happen when you actually stay consistent. Now, it was hard because not only was this the only lunch club, but I also decided to make it the only meetup that met weekly. Every other meetup that was in the area, they met usually monthly or sporadically.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely a lot. Would it be fair to say that you can attest a lot of your success to having the meetup and having the podcast within real estate?
Yeah. And in fact, if you don't mind, if I take it just a step further, that I know changed my business. And when I have clients who I'm helping them brand themselves, I give them these three things, not just the two that you mentioned, but three, because I really think that they work hand in hand with each other. And what it is a thought leadership platform, and it doesn't matter what it is. It could be YouTube, it could be a blog, it could be a podcast. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Just you have to have that platform, that major thought leadership platform where people see you as a leader in the community, in the full, you know, nationwide community. And so there's that, that I think is important, a huge piece. The second one would be your live in-person events. And you could do a meetup or you could just host dinners, or I host some conferences too. But having the in-person events is very important, whether you're hosting workshops, masterminds, meetups, or dinners. That live in-person time is really where people get to know you and they get to start speaking about you, like, because they've met you. You and I met through Alina. Alina and I met originally through podcasting and then in person. And now she's kind of sharing more about me, and other people do the same thing. So I think those two are very important. And the one that a lot of people kind of miss, but I think that they go hand in hand like a three-legged stool. I've tried to sit on a two-legged stool before and it doesn't really work. So I suggest you use all three. And that's just being active on social media, just so people know what you're doing. And again, I'm not trying to say try to do everything. You don't need to be like doing TikTok and LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and, you know, Bigger Pockets. But if you
Twitter,
if you pick Bigger Pockets, or if you pick Meetup, or if you pick LinkedIn, it won't matter. Just focus on it fully. And that's where you can post your stories, where people can get to know you as a person. And so with the three of them, that's really, I think, how you implement the large thought leadership platforms. Because a lot of times people will come to my events if I'm not posting it on Facebook, right? And people might not mm-hmm. have even heard of my meetup, or if I didn't post it on Facebook. Maybe people wouldn't know about my podcast if I wasn't active on Facebook. So while you're at your meetup, you take pictures of the room and then you kind of basically make a post that tells everybody that they missed out, and you tell them what's going to happen at the next one. And then they're thinking to themselves, oh, this is a great meetup, I'd like to go. And so by using all three is truly the way that I've moved my brand, my company's brand or personal brand, excelled it so quickly, because most people don't do it that quickly.
What did you focus on as far as social media? Did you pick LinkedIn, Twitter? What did you niche down on?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook a lot. Some days it'll show that I'm on Facebook for 12 hours straight.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Okay. So if somebody's listening to this and they can't devote 12 hours and they hear the word active, what would you say as far as like recommendations when you hear active? Does that mean posting your status, your food pictures, your updates with your life? Are you going in and chatting in different chat rooms? Like, what would active mean, and how often would you recommend quote unquote active on a social media platform?
Well, I don't think anybody needs to change what they're doing right now. You know, like uh-huh. if they post just sporadically, let's just say that there's somebody who posts three times in a whole month. So it's a little bit less mm-hmm. than once a week. I think that's fair active. A couple of suggestions would be, number one, don't set it and forget it. You know, so one is, if you're going to post that time, when you post, if you could just leave yourself, you know, 30 minutes after you post and then just follow up with it a couple times. Because the way I can probably even maybe share a little bit of this on this episode if you'd like to.
Yep.
Basically, the way you're going to post is you're going to post requiring your followers to engage with the post. Mm-hmm. So you, instead of just posting a link or just telling somebody something, you'll basically ask them something, or you'll invite them somewhere and tell them if they would like to go, you can get them a free ticket, but to comment below. Or you could tell them that, hey, I just interviewed this great guy on my podcast, and I think that it would be valuable to anybody running a business. And, you know, if when it comes out, I'd be happy to send anybody the link. Just comment below. And when it comes out, I'll send you the link so you know about it. And that's just you asking for the engagement in a way that is reciprocal. It's like, I'm going to give you value. And so...
Yeah, give and take.
Yeah, exactly. But the main thing is that don't set it and forget it. I can help anyone, if you're going to post one thing, I can tweak it just to make sure that it gets engagement. And then I just teach people to jump on there and comment on within the posts, ask more questions. You know, you might say, hey, you said you wanted it. Would you rather me email it to you, or would you rather me just send it into the private messaging? And then they'll say, mm-hmm. oh, you know, please email it to me. And then you might just, you know, engage again and say, great. What's the best email for this purpose? You know, even if they only have one email, you engage in there. What's the best email for this purpose? You know, which email do you want mm-hmm. me to send this to you? And mm-hmm. then when they reply with the answer, then you'll basically say, okay, John, I'm sending it right now. Let me know when you get it, ? And so it kind of keeps them engaging on the post. And I know this sounds crazy. You're like, why are you asking so many questions? Why does it matter? Why don't I just put a link in there and say, hey, here's the link, take it. Well, the thing is that number one, the link itself takes people away Facebook, and Facebook has mm-hmm. responsibility to their passive investors. Facebook has investors. Facebook also, besides having investors, they have people advertising on the platform. That just means that if people are going away from Facebook, Facebook's losing money. They're losing money for investors, and they're losing money for their advertisers. So if you put a link that goes somewhere at all, then they're just not going to engage. They're not going to stay on there. Plus, if you are asking the questions, then they're going to engage on there. And then Facebook's going to notice that you're keeping people on the platform. And so what they're going to do is they're going to make sure that they push your post in front of more people. I don't know if you knew this, but just real fast, like when you make a post, generally they only show, same thing with LinkedIn. Most of the platforms are like this. They only show it to a segment of your friends. That's the truth of it. They only show it yep. to a few people that follow you. And, you know, if all of them engage, then they're going to push it in front of most of your friends. But if none of them yeah. engage, then they don't need to worry. They squash it. And so if there's a post that has a link in it, Facebook gets scared and they don't put it in front of any of your friends. They stop showing it. Mm. That's why with most people that post like a YouTube video or link to their blog, this is the reason why you only have one like and one comment. The exact reason is because you put a link in there. So stop doing that. Don't put the link. Instead, say that you have the blog, and if they would like the link, that they should comment below and then ask them if they want it to be emailed to them or sent as a private message, and then follow up and say all these other things that I shared. So there's a rhyme and a reason, but yeah, the Facebook's super important. The meetups helped me, and the podcast has helped. I'll turn it over to questions for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to piggyback off of that with Facebook really quick, I was listening to a gentleman talking about social media and kind of a hack. And one of the things that he likes to do is to show up in other people's feed is something as simple as every single day it says, this is Adam Adams' birthday. This is Matthew Baltzell's birthday today, blah, blah, blah. He will directly message them and just say, happy birthday, Adam. Happy birthday, Matthew. And what that does is it puts that message in their inbox, and then they might reciprocate, or I might reciprocate and say, hey, thanks, Adam, for wishing me happy birthday, right? And now automatically Facebook will see that we've had a conversation. So we've already, we've had like a past history. So if I'm going to post something, they're more likely to show it in their feed as opposed to we haven't talked in 15 years. So why would they put that on there? So I found that to be very interesting. So if you're listening to this, that might be another hack to try and be more visible, or for you as well, to gain more visibility on social media. Very cool. Well, I like it. Everything that you're doing thus far. I want to take it back to the local meetup. When you were originally doing this, where did you go about establishing these luncheons? If somebody's thinking, okay, they're listening to this, they're like, I could do a luncheon. Was it at like a Buffalo Wild Wings? Did you do it? Did you rent out a room? Did you have yeah. speakers come during the day? Like, how could you give a little more context about when you first started the meetup? Obviously, I know it's different from now, but how did you go about even determining or starting a meetup? Like, or not determining, but what did you really do at your first couple of meetups?
Yeah, well, it definitely did involve. The first meetup was at a Smashburger. It's called Smashburger. I don't know if they have them nationwide or not, but mm-hmm. it's just like, I think they have nicer meats and and they can cook it to order, and they have, you know, brioche buns and just cool things like that. Their fries, I think they hand cut. So I just went to Smashburger, and it's a small place. There's no drive through or anything. It's just like a burger joint. Anyway, the point is that there was just regular tables, and all we did is sat. And the first one, we were just masterminding. We were just talking about creative real estate on that very first meetup. And we continued to have different topics. We might just talk about, we might mastermind, which means there's no speaker. It's just that we sit down in a round table setting and we discuss a topic. We might talk about how to invest out of state on one of them. And we might talk about, you know, how to have a good proper scope of work for your contractors on a fix and flip on another one. And we might talk about, you know, how to get more rentals. We might talk about the Berman method. That's what it looked like for a while. And we went from having like 6 people up to 12 people per week. And then we started to change it up a little bit. I started to invite speakers. I wanted to hack into other people's networks. So I got fairly famous people that were around the Denver area. Some of the people that led, you know, large real estate groups already. And I invited them to have a 20 to 30 minute presentation on a topic that they were really good at. And that topic needed to be really popular so that it would attract a good audience. So their name would attract an audience and the topic would attract an audience.
Could you give me an example of maybe like one guest and one topic for people that are listening?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So a good friend of mine, his name is Charles Roberts. He's had a lot of health issues and I haven't seen him in a long time, but back then, you know, he was really out there. He ran a company called, Your Castle Real Estate, which is one of the largest real estate agencies in the whole state of Colorado. He had like 700 agents underneath him. And so I knew if you're the owner with 700 agents, a lot of people know you there. Plus he was on the speaking circuit. He was going around and speaking at a lot of places. Plus his company put out data. His company released these quarterly reports about where the housing is. And because they geek out on the reports, it attracted a lot of people, even that were not their own agents, that all wanted to know what this report was. So what I did is on one quarter, I said that Charles Roberts is going to share the state of the market and he's going to give away these reports for everybody. And what I did alongside with that is I had a friend who was in Your Castle and they have this thing called a whiteboard. It's like the Your Castle whiteboard. If anyone's listening and they know what it is, they use it religiously. So I had my friend post on the whiteboard that Charles Roberts was going to be speaking at lunch and giving his topic. So it went out to all of their agents. And then I basically went to all the fix and flippers and told them how important it would be for them to understand this. And rather than giving any answers, you don't want to give the answers. You want to give the question. You want to say, hey, this is where you're going to know if you should be still doing fix and flips this quarter. And so, you know, we were able to market it pretty well and we got a lot of people there. And, you know, went on to meetup.com, private messaged people in other groups. And I just said, hey, I don't know if you're going to that meetup during lunch next Thursday or not, but I saw that you were doing wholesales and I'd love to talk to you. Maybe we could talk there. And so it was a very well thought out presentation, like on these private messaging. So this is what we did to kind of slowly grow this meetup group. And we got it so that up to 176 people would come every week. So we had more people coming at lunch in the middle of the day for a weekly meetup, then we're coming to the second largest real estate meetup in the entire state of Colorado. So it's because of how we market it, how we branded it, how we took pictures when there's 176 people there and we posted it, you know, you guys missed out. The next one's going to be at this date and this time. So that's really how we kind of started growing it. But yeah, I had a presenter, like you were asking the topic. That topic was the state of the market. And then we'd have somebody present on it for, I would always tell them 20 to 30 minutes, because if you tell them 20 to 30 minutes, they'll automatically take an hour, and the max you can do is an hour. So just people go over all the time. So you just say 20 to 30 minutes, I need you to speak on this topic that you're really good at. And then I hack into their network, people that know them, people that want to know the topic, private message people. And then after they speak, we invite everybody in the room to introduce themselves. And I think this is huge. If somebody's going to start a meetup group, you got to let the whole room introduce themselves. People are not going to keep coming back to a room where they can't do that. And it doesn't matter if you're introverted or extroverted. You want to introduce yourself. Okay, there's the one out of 20, one out of 50 people that will still prefer not to. But I promise that I know this from experience from hosting over 300 events, that everybody wants to introduce themselves, even if they're introverted, and especially if they're introverted, because if they are, this is their chance to say it, feel confident about saying it in front of everybody. Everybody knows what they're doing, and now they don't have to try to go up to everybody and shake everybody's hand and be extroverted. It's the easiest way to facilitate people working together. And that's one of the big things that I think people coming back and back and back again to our events.
Love it. I love it. I think for people that are really listening to this and they're thinking about starting a thought leadership platform, whether, you know, it's a blog, YouTube, podcast, right? It's the same thing with real estate, is it's about leverage, and you leverage your podcast to get better relationships, and you use that to get better investors or better partners. And really it's about like networking and just leveraging and leveraging and leveraging and leveraging. So if you're really out there and you're thinking, okay, like, you know, I don't know where to start, I don't know what to do, you know, whether it's a podcast or having a simple luncheon as what you're doing, the point is just to kind of get started, and then you leverage, you know, your meetup, which is in the snow where you're getting 15 inches in under 2 hours and you want to cancel it. You know, like, look at your success now. You know, you can attribute a lot of that to that starting at that luncheon. So, you know, kudos to you, and I commend you for all the hard work and great work that you're doing right now in the real estate community. I want to transition and close it out with the three closing questions here. First question, Adam, I have here for you is, what is a pain point or a weakness you face right now in your business?
Definitely the biggest pain point is shiny objects, as always think we can do everything and anything, and we can just take on one more thing, and wouldn't this move the needle forward? I think that's the biggest pain point, is not having those horse blinders on enough. Even when we're trying, we're still getting distracted by shiny objects. And so we try to mitigate that by having quarterly meetings, monthly meetings, and weekly meetings, and even a daily meeting where we try to hold each other accountable. And by having those horse blinders on, focusing, staying in one line, but it's still difficult. We still have a challenge, just like any entrepreneur.
Okay. Love it. Love it. Second question is, what is your favorite book to regift?
Recently, a good friend of mine, Joe Fairless, wrote a book called Best Ever Apartment Syndication Book, and it's the most comprehensive book on apartment investing that I've ever seen. And so I'm always pushing people toward that book, and give people the book and tell people about the book, and all my coaching clients read the book. So it's really the main thing, the main book that I like, but it's all about apartment investing. So I don't know if it applies to all of your audience, but that's the one that I'm sharing with a lot of people.
Very cool. Yeah, I definitely got it right here, right in front of me. It's definitely a good book to check out. I'll include that in the show notes as well. Third and final question is, if you were to live abroad for 1 year, where would you live and why?
For a whole year, I kind of like living in Denver. I enjoy it. So if I had to move... and for a year, I would probably choose something like Samoa and the Western Samoa. And the reason I think that I'd probably choose that is because when I was doing a service mission in Los Angeles, I met a whole bunch of Polynesians. I pretty much met every ethnicity there possibly is in the whole world in Los Angeles. It's the melting pot of the world, but really grew fond of Samoans and Tongans and everything, but they are so giving. They're so amazing. And I love the food. I used to eat massive amounts of their food, and that's why I looked like them for a couple of years. But man, I just think it would be so amazing to be in Western Samoa, like, because I can actually speak a lot of the language, and I would love to learn more of the language. I think it's cool to eat with your hands. I really prefer it over silverware. Kava is healthier to drink than alcohol, and I just think that Western Samoa would be a really cool place to live, and I would love for my kids, I have two boys, I would love for them to be there with me and just learn the giving nature of the Polynesians. That would be probably where I would pick if I had to.
Yeah, that sounds lovely, like a great place. That would be a good spot for your boys to see for sure. All right, Adam, what's the best place for people to find you?
Now, I would just say go to realbluespruce.com. In Colorado, there's a blue spruce tree. We're not the fake one. We're the real bluespruce.com.
Okay. All right. And for people that don't know, the blue spruce is actually the native, or what is it? The state tree, the state tree of Colorado. So
yeah, it is the state tree.
Yeah, a little fun fact there for you guys. All right, cool. Adam, thank you very much for being on today's episode. I really appreciate it. I know the audience is going to find a lot of valuable information, and we'll catch you on the next go-round, my friend.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thank you very much for listening to today's episode. But before I let you go, if you're a real estate investor and you're looking to take your investing and your business to the next level and be featured on other people's podcasts, what I need you to do is click on the link in the show notes. I have a quick 4-question survey for you to fill out, and I'll be able to help solve that problem there for you. Thanks very much, guys. One love. Peace.